People of that day, Muslims and everybody else, all considered Abraham to be the father of their faith. So it's interesting to understand the culture of the day and to see and be seen. Now, I think it's wonderful to truly be seen. And I think everybody's greatest wish on the basis of all relationships is that desire to be seen. Now, we don't need to put on manners or mask, but we can be ourselves and accept it for who we are. To be seen is to be known in a very intimate way. I am glad to see you all here this morning, and I hope and pray that you're glad to be seen. Ainsley Earhart wrote a little book that I've just been fascinated with. When she was growing up as a little girl, every birthday her mother used to tell her, "I am glad you were born." And you think about that. I am glad you were born. I am glad I was born. And to be able to see you and to be seen by you is a special thing for this preacher, because it's an intimate, real way. Unfortunately, though, there's people who never find that intimacy in relationships in their lives. Instead, they live their lives alone and lonely, never bonding with that special someone. For many, it means that they have been unwilling to be seen. Human nature, as I say, times have changed, but human nature has never changed. And human nature can often cause us to hide ourselves from others. And sometimes it may be because we feel that we won't be accepted for who we are. And then sometimes it's a result of past trauma or pain that we put up walls or barriers to protect ourselves. But whatever the reason, a great number of people in our world today live in solitary. They live behind masks of their own making. Hiding is as old as humanity itself. You know, I always say that you can see Jesus from Genesis to Revelation. Genesis, because he is there all the way through. So let's go back to the beginning in Genesis. Who do we see? Adam and Eve, all messed up. When they accepted the dare from the serpent, what do they do after that? They immediately hide. Shame is our greatest impetus for hiding. Why? Because otherwise we need to stand naked before God. Think about it. That's at Adam and Eve. They were going to have to stand naked before God, admitting their mistake. And even our own messed up situations, they were in a mess. And even us today in our own mediocrity. Now, Adam and Eve not only hid from the foliage from God, they hid back in the woods or back underneath the tree or the bushes. But what did they do? They made themselves makeshift clothing. I think the Bible refers to it as a fig leaf, so that they can further hide. Maybe it's some kind of camouflage attempt to blend in with the forest. But it's definitely a metaphor for the layers that we humans pile upon ourselves, hoping that no one else will see our bad decisions, our bad character, bad choices, bad disobedience, even bad obedience. Well, here's the good news. From Genesis. So we think of the good news in the Gospels and so forth, and it is good news, but I got good news from the book of Genesis. God forgives. God loves. God clothes Adam and Eve with something better than the protection. He clothed them with forgiveness and love and the righteousness of God. Big fancy religious word, righteousness. And all it means is you are in right standing with God. And yet, even now, when we talk about the book of Genesis, what do we focus on? We talk about the fall, falling from grace. And it did happen, but that's not God's grace. Wonder why that is. Why do we focus on the fall in Genesis or the redemption of grace. What's what we should focus on? Why are we so obsessed with our badness that we blame it on the fall back in Adam and Eve's time? It's hard for us. That's why, because we're human. It's hard for us to face God with our failings. But, I love the buts in Scripture, but accept God's grace for ourselves and come out of hiding. I think that's a wonderful thing. Come out of hiding. God already knows everything about you anyhow, so why do you got to hide it? Hiding never did and never does do us any good. God finds us anyway. He knows where we are. He is with us. He said he would never leave us nor forsake us, so he's always with us. And usually so do the people know that God is there. But what do? We allow ourselves to be close with some things, and we ought to hide things. But whenever we succumb to hiding, what we're really doing is hiding from ourselves. We're not hiding from God. We might be trying to hide from others, but more importantly, what we're doing is just hiding from ourselves, hoping that we can fill or even cover up that gaping hole inside of us that longs to be seen, accepted, and more importantly, known and also loved. You see, the more we hide, the more longing we are to be seen and loved. And it sort of gnaws at our heart and our soul. So when we keep ourselves from God, we also frequently keep ourselves from others. That's what COVID did to the church. And it's now starting to come back because people realize they need that fellowship. They need that relationship with each other. We don't need to be hiding from each other. We need to be able to come and to encourage one another. Because we as people have that deep longing for relationship, deep longing for companionship and emotional intimacy, which we can come out in other healthy ways, but it takes courage to stand before an almighty God and those that we love and to admit our faults. That's what we call repentance. You know, I was studying with the Fellowship of Jews and Christians, and they talk about a lot of the Jewish festivals and the feasts and so forth, and this one lady was talking about repentance, and I never thought of it this way. We talk about repentance, that we need to change our ways, but in the Jewish tradition, they talk about repentance. They're talking about returning to God. That's what we need to do, return to God. It takes courage, no doubt about it, to stand before an almighty God and those that we love and admit our faults, hoping for love. We hope back in Genesis, hoping for love, forgiveness, and acceptance, especially if we are truly repenting and have a desire for reconciliation. Boy, do we need reconciliation today in our families, in our country, in the world. Reconciliation. Big word that simply means we need to love one another. We can agree to disagree, but we can still love, reconcile. But it takes courage to allow us to mend that gap and put a salve on it. You know, I like that Blue Emu commercial. You know, takes the pain away, but you won't stink. Salve. Stinking and putting salve on that wound. The salve of the Holy Spirit. Restoration is a loving situation despite seeing. So what's that got to do with Luke's Gospel chapter 19 about Zacchaeus? Well, Zacchaeus was a man who strived to see Jesus because he deeply needed to be seen. Think about that. Needed to be seen. And he also wanted to see. Often we look at that story of Zacchaeus and we think about him being maybe just a haughty man. And the scripture tells us he was very rich, and he was. It was a tax collector. But he also, meaning that he was most likely shunned by the whole community. Nobody liked tax collectors. But the man described in the Jesus story as told by Dr. Luke does not come across that way. He urgently wants to see Jesus. because he obviously heard about him. He had heard about what he can do. He's heard that Jesus doesn't ostracize people due to their occupation or even their past. He tries everything to get a glimpse of him coming down the road amidst the big crowd. So the scriptures tell us that Zacchaeus is a short man, like Ralphie. He was short in stature, and perhaps it's a metaphorical or well as literal being short. So what's he do? He runs ahead of the crowd. He climbs up that old sycamore tree so that he can see Jesus coming by. Wow. What does Jesus do? As soon as he comes and sees Zacchaeus up in the tree, he looked up. And he sees him and he invites him, "Hey, Zacchaeus, come on down out of that tree. I'm going to go to your house tonight for dinner." You know, we think about it in Jesus inviting into our hearts, but Jesus also puts out the thing that he invites himself to come in to fellowship with us. And that's what he did with Zacchaeus. Now, I think we need to notice something about the scripture and about this story, because typically, when people tell the story, they see that Jesus went to Zacchaeus' house and then Zacchaeus had a change of heart. But that's not how the scriptures tell it. In fact, right there and right then, as people are grumbling around him, that Jesus guy is going over to Zacchaeus' house and he is a miserable coot. He takes all my money. And there's Jesus going over there. Zacchaeus immediately stood there and said, "Look, Lord, I want to tell you, I want to repent. And look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I defrauded anybody or anything, I will pay it back four times as much." Well, maybe Zacchaeus thought that if he does these things, he could earn the Lord's favor. Good deeds, good works, we all do them and we want to do them. But it's good that we do them and the Lord likes us when we do them, but it really doesn't earn his favor. But what does Jesus say to Zacchaeus? He says salvation has come to this house, meaning Zacchaeus' house, because he too is the son of Abraham. Salvation has come to every house because we all too are part of God's kingdom. And Jesus said, "Well, you know, the Son of Man came to seek out and save the lost." And he's still doing that today. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus seeks to see us just as we seek to see him. Not because of what we do, but to make reconciliation. Although Jesus is happy that we're showing that kind of love to others, Jesus seeks to see us and accept us because of who we are. Who are we? We are children of the living God. We were created in the image of God back in the garden. God created us, Adam and Eve and the rest of us, for fellowship with him. Not that he was lonely, but he wanted to have a relationship with his creation. So we were created in his image. Jesus seeks to see us. He seeks to accept us. Now, the world may not accept Zacchaeus, but Jesus did, and Jesus does. So you think, "Well, he wouldn't accept me because of what I've done, and but he does. All we got to do is ask and receive." Many come to see Jesus, but very few come into a relationship with Jesus. I think that's one of the reasons the church is so special and so people come to see Jesus. But the biggest problem is few come in a relationship with Christ. That's why I love to tell the old story of Jesus and his love. And you think about that because you never know who's coming through those doors. So you always got to be able to share that they can have a relationship with God through Christ. Can you imagine having a relationship with the one who created you? That's what it's all about. So then you become a disciple when you accept that. And true disciple means allowing Jesus to see you in all your humanness. Boy, that's hard to think about that. Oh, wait a minute. I get in the shower and I'm all naked and I'm wondering if Jesus is standing up there looking and saying, Ralph, you need to lose some weight. You know, I don't know. I'm just a thinker. But he does see us in all our humanness. And he's seeking to let us receive his forgiveness and his grace. Today, Reformation Sunday, it's a part on the church calendar. And sometimes we don't pay much attention to things that are on the church calendar. But it's very meaningful because Reformation is an important part of the church. Reformation is a movement that ensured we ourselves could come face to face with Jesus without an intermediary on our behalf. Even in the Jewish traditions, you know, they would say, well, you've got to come and see the priest, and if you see the priest, then he can heal you, and then you've got to go out. No, you don't need the priest to come to have a relationship with God. Even in our own, some of our traditions and modern Christianity, they're still practicing in some places where, well, if you want to get forgiveness, you got to come and see the priest and you got to come to that confessional booth. No, you don't need to do that. You can ask God to forgive you right where you are because you are entitled to a relationship with God. You don't need an intermediary. All you need is a desire to have a relationship with God, and he'll be right there. That's why we give Martin Luther so much credit for what he did. He was a Roman Catholic priest. Even John Wesley, he was an Anglican priest. And he comes to realize why we practice Wesley theology. Not that we worship Wesley, and we certainly don't worship Martin Luther, but he did something special. He realized that there was something wrong, that why we had to go to priests or go to people and different things to talk to God. And he come, I don't know if he had a revelation or what, but he put all this stuff down on paper and he nailed it to the door in Wittenberg, Germany. He knew how important it was for people to feel that they could approach the loving and living God and a forgiving, grace-filled God who would see them, accept them, and love them as they were. So, the Reformation situation accomplished a lot of wonderful things. Lasted for years. It spread throughout many countries of the world, but the best thing it did was to assure us that we are loved just because God created us. We are loved for just who we are, and when we see God, he sees us just the way that we are. He doesn't see the mess that you got. We carry that mess with us. He don't see that mess. I wish Diane was here this morning because every time I sit and talk with Diane and so forth, first thing she says, you know, I'm messed up. I said, well, I'm messed up too, so that's good. But God doesn't see our messed up. He sees beauty. He sees hope. He sees joy. He sees pleasure. So if we do mess up, God will always forgive. Receive and refresh our spirit again and again and again. A God of 2 chances? No, a God of 1,000? No, God of 1,000,000 chances. So we never must be afraid to approach God. And you can do it wherever you are. Out in the woods, fishing, whatever. You got something going on in your life and just say, oh, time out, Lord, I need to talk to you. You can do it right there. Throw off our mask. Because he already knows everything about it. We don't need to be hiding from him. It makes it easier because we are worthy. Jesus declares us worthy. I like what it says in the book of Revelation. Worthy is the Lamb who takes away the sins of the world. Worthy is his people who receive his grace and his love. So, challenges, yeah, we all have them. I was sharing with Linda and some others. You know, we've had challenges all week. We all get it. But just let it all hang out, so to speak. Take the mask off and say, Lord, I got a problem with this. I got a problem with that. I got a problem with other people. Help me to be able to do that. He knows you. He sees you. And he accepts you. And he will receive you. That's the most important thing. It doesn't matter when you come, Jesus said, as long as you come. Amen.